Have you been told you don't fit in? The way you live isn't right? You don't look the right way? You don't act the right way? You don't love the right people? You don't believe the right thing? Do you feel the pull of spirituality deep within you and long for a place where you can express it, but keep running into places that want to put you into a box, turn you into another member of their cookie-cutter community where everybody looks the same, everybody lives the same, everybody talks the same, everybody sits in neat little rows, and nobody asks any questions? Welcome. You found a home, because this is the Christ and Light Podcast. And at Christ and Light, we celebrate your diversity. We understand the truth that everybody and everything was created wholly good, absolutely complete and loved, and that each one of us is a bearer of God. Join us now as we discuss the implications of that in our lives, as we explore ways to live out the truth that all of us are Christ events, called to shine forth in the world. Hey, hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good whatever it is when you happen to be listening to this podcast. This is the Christ and Light Podcast, and today we're talking about fools and apologies. It's sure to be an interesting program, a little bit tongue-in-cheek now and again, so don't get all upset. Just because I'm going to tell you there are some people in the world that are just dumb as a box of rocks. Because I'm willing to bet you have already figured that out for yourself. And it is only the pressure of our culture that keeps you from admitting it. And I'm here to say, be free. Take an honesty laxative. Admit that some people are just flipping idiots and they get right under your nerves. Now, not only do I have my experience and informed opinion to rest upon with this assertion, I, in fact, now have discovered, as those of you who follow my blog will know, scientific research, psychological theory that confirms the world is full of idiots. And those of us who are more intelligent, which would include, of course, everyone listening to this program, have a problem around idiots as well. So, before we get into it, it has been hotter than hell. I don't know how you're holding up. I hope you're holding up well. But it has been just unflipping godly. My wife Erin and I tried to go to our Summerfest festival here in Milwaukee at Lake Michigan yesterday, Thursday, July 5th. The temperature was 105 degrees, and usually you go near the lake and you get a little bit of mitigation on the intensity of the heat, but no. Not yesterday, unless you were right against the lake, and so we only lasted a couple of hours. and that was a far better thing we did. God, it's terrible. Get inside. It's supposed to start getting a little better tomorrow and over the weekend, but you know it's pretty bad when the mid to upper 80s starts to seem cool, unless you live in Phoenix, and then I can't help you. You might want to consider listening to the part about fools. If you like sweat on your sweat, who am I to judge? So here's the deal. It's the Dunning-Kruger effect. And the Dunning-Kruger effect says, basically, if I may summarize and paraphrase, that stupid people essentially give themselves too much credit, and intelligent people essentially give other people too much credit, including stupid people. What they found was that among the less intelligent out there, there are more than enough of them, as I'm sure you know, they tend to believe that their opinions are facts. And so, for example, as a friend of mine pointed out, Dr. Kerry Gabriel Costello, who teaches at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, he has students who essentially don't integrate the material they're given into their performance. They tend to integrate their own dumbass opinions. They don't do well on the papers. They don't study. And when they take the tests, they don't do well. And they can't understand why it is they don't get a good grade, because in their mind, they're doing just fine. There's a name for that. It's called the dumbass. But it manifests in other ways as well. You see people who, if they have their own opinion or belief about how something works, then that's how it works. End of discussion. If there are little squirrels inside your car running on treadmills to make it go down the street, in their mind, then they will not entertain alternative explanations for how your car works. And it gets particularly more confounding when it's less objective things. Let me explain what I mean. A woman named Claire Short writes a blog. She's a conservative Catholic. She writes a blog something about freedom in our families or some nonsense like that. Apparently she's in the United Kingdom somewhere, and she sent me this blog thinking I was a Catholic bishop looking for my comment. And what it indicated was that there were persecutions taking place in the UK, and soon in Canada, over clergy that refused to marry same-gender-loving couples. And she was holding this up as an example of authentic religious persecution, and trying to get people fired up around it. The problem is that the laws in both areas, both regions of the world, provide exclusion for, if you will, religious objections. So, in fact, there can be no legal consequence for refusing to perform a same-gender-loving marriage. There can be no civil suit for refusing to perform a same-gender-loving marriage because, quite honestly, the law prohibits it. But never mind the facts. This woman and a group of her followers who are thanking her for pointing out this terrible situation to them, and who will pursue, as I smack the mess out of the microphone, and who will pursue no further investigation into the veracity of her claim because they read it on a blog. Now, of course, there are some good blogs out there. You can take everything you see on my blog as gospel. But there are also some idiots writing out there. And there are idiots reading out there, and their primary vehicle through which they express their idiocy is they don't do their own research. They say, well, what this fool is writing seems reasonable to me, so it must be fact. Well, you know, when I was a child, it seemed pretty reasonable to me that the moon was made of cheese. It was one of the explanations that was floating around popular culture at the time. We hadn't been to the moon yet, so nobody knew for sure. To the best of my knowledge, the scientists had a better explanation than all that, because as far as I know, none of the Apollo missions were sent with box upon box of crackers. Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, did not land with a box of Ritz crackers that he might slice up a little cheese and enjoy a snack while he was there, or, you know, back in the space capsule. Nevertheless, a lot of people believed that the moon was made of cheese, and not only that, that people were living on the backside of the moon. They had postulated this theory, this absurd theory, that despite the fact that the moon rotates as it orbits the Earth, and that the Earth rotates, there were scads of creatures carefully shifting around to remain invisible to the people on the Earth. And it didn't matter what satellites we had sent up, or the fact that we had had Apollo missions that in fact orbited the moon. They somehow cleverly kept themselves hidden. And there was great concern that when Neil Armstrong put his foot on the moon, these people would emerge from their hiding, whatever sort of creatures they were, and devour him. Not, of course, in the scientific community, but in the popular community. And you can bring that forward today with idiots like Sarah Palin and her death panels and other things. In fact, a lot of the political discourse, frankly, on both sides of the aisle, where people seem to just pull things out of their rectum and hold it forth as truth. And there's another bunch of fools out there who are sitting there going, oh, it must be true, you know, Mitt Romney said it. And again, I'm not just picking on the Republicans, it's just that they say more stupid shit, and so it's easier. Local politicians do it as well. Predictions of doom and gloom and such. Now, what does it matter to you, you're thinking? I'm not a stupid person. Which, by the way, if we analyze what I just said, the fact that you or I don't believe that we're stupid objectively proves nothing. You might want to get a test. But if you're listening to me, that is the test. So anyway, what matters to us is that we give other people too much credit. We look at the idiots of the world, as well as the smart people of the world, and make the assumption that they have our knowledge and our understanding of how the world operates, that they are not coming from a fictional place. And so I even find myself, prior to learning of this phenomenon, saying, how can anybody believe this crap? And the answer is, quite easily, because it's their nature to be stupid. Now, all kidding aside, it poses some interesting questions for us as we try and educate the world. You know, we try and educate the world environmentally, for example, in things like global warming. And yet a good segment of the population has said, you know, we've decided that shit's all made up. Never mind that there isn't any evidence to the contrary, because that thought would never occur to us because we're stupid. You probably have a family member that's a dumbass. I know I do. Several of them. Anyway, so here's the question. Or here's the quandary, if you will. Clearly, we need, as we work for social justice and social change, to do a lot of educating. A lot of educating. We can't assume that people get it. In fact, it may be a safer assumption that they don't. It would be a mistake, on the other hand, to attribute to their stupidity a certain poor intention or ill will. No, they're just dumb. And you might give somebody credit that way who was, you know, very hostile toward you. You might say, I understand that you don't get this. But I know that you don't have ill will. You're just a dumbass. And I think they would feel much better about the whole situation. But not only do we have educating to do, I think we also need to realize, both in the spiritual and the political and the social justice realms, that there are some people we just aren't going to reach. Just like there are certain people who you probably wouldn't put into a physics class, and I, frankly, would be one of those people, because I don't care about it. I'm sure if I applied myself, I could do it. My problem is I can't get myself to apply myself because I just don't give a damn. And thank God there are people who do. There are some people who are just too damn stupid to try and educate about some things. And so then our job, or the question we have to ask ourselves is it worth our time? And I know some of you are going to say, man, that sounds awfully cold. But if you look at a movement, the progressive movement, both spiritually and politically and in every other way, any movement has limited resources, limited energy, the limited energy of its participants, of its principles. And do we want to waste that energy on people who just aren't going to get it? Or would we do better to choose our battles? To choose who we're going to engage and discuss stuff with, and not be afraid to say, as kindly as possible, to certain people, you know, I'm not going to debate with you because you're just an idiot. I think that sounds pretty kind to me. After all, they may be too damn stupid to know you've just insulted them. Speaking of stupidity and insults, did you hear about 50 Cent? 50 Cent? Now, of course, his name is 50 Cents. Cents. Well, it's for 50 Cent. With no S. Because it's Ebonics. But you have to say it, 50 Cent. So, for some reason that's inconceivable to me, but absolutely, now that I think about it, proves the Dunning-Kruger effect. And the fact that there are plenty of idiots in the world, 50 Cent has 8+ million Twitter followers. Are you flipping serious? So, if you needed further proof that some of those 8 million are idiots, other than the fact that they follow 50 Cent on Twitter, consider the Twitter follower who tweeted 50 Cent and said something to the effect of, if he doesn't release his next album, he's going to get shot again. And 50 Cent rustled together all of his IQ points and went and looked at the Twitter profile of the person who said this, or tweeted this, and said something to the effect of, you look autistic to me, I don't need any retards following me, or something like that, which if that were really the criteria, I think he'd be down to about 6 Twitter followers, but who am I to judge? Well, actually, I'm intelligent. That's who I am to judge. Anyway. Now, of course, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and whatever Rodney Pete's ex-wife's name is, or maybe they're still married. Something Pete. I forget her first name. I'm sorry. I don't follow her or 50 Cent on Twitter. Because I just don't care. Came out, and the autistic people, well, not the autistic people, but their parents and supporters and advocates are all demanding that 50 Cent apologize. Now, let's analyze this, first of all, under the auspices of the Dunning-Kruger effect. 50 Cent is an idiot. How do you know? you look at his behavior. So the best 50 Cent is able to do is dumb stuff, like telling somebody they look autistic, which is about as accurate as telling somebody they look like they have O positive blood. You just can't tell. Now, if you have a moving picture and people are severely autistic, yeah, you can figure it out, but this was just the way he could lash out. And in his tiny little brain, this seemed to be a witty retort. First of all, who gives a rat's... Well, apparently, 8+ million people do, but who that isn't an idiot gives a rat's ass about what 50 Cent thinks, or says, or does? We have developed into a culture that demands apologies with slightly greater frequency than we have a bowel movement. We are all looking for something to be offended about and demand an apology to. I cannot tell you, and you probably know, if you're at all active in political causes, the ridiculous crap that people start change.org petitions over. Don't misunderstand, some of them are very relevant, but some of them are pretty damn stupid. I got one today for some house in the city of Milwaukee. I don't even know where it is. It's an old shitty building, and somebody's upset because the Common Council is going to tear it down. Well, may I remind you, it's an old shitty building. I really don't know what the issue is. They want it named a temporary historic zone, probably before it collapses on itself. Stupid. Stupid shit. Just because somebody gets upset about something or decides that something needs to be different doesn't, thank you Dunning-Kruger effect, mean that that's the truth. Just because 50 Cent, says something stupid doesn't mean that it's true. And what's more, anybody dumb enough to think it is true because it came off the lips of 50 Cent is too damn stupid to understand that it isn't anyway. So rather than running around demanding apologies, why don't we increase our efforts towards education? And the people that are educatable will be. And those that aren't, well, they can continue along in their blissful ignorance, believing whatever crops up in their head. I would call your attention to the Serenity Prayer, which encourages us to, which asks for, rather, the strength to change the things we can, the courage to accept the things we can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it seems to me, all across the spectrum, from conservative to progressive, we are a group of people who keep trying to change shit that just isn't going to change. And many would say at that point, well, what's the alternative? I'll tell you what the alternative is. The alternative is just to move on. And to the people who are perfectly comfortable in their ignorance, we can leave them to be perfectly comfortable in their ignorance because that just may be all they're capable of. And the best we can do is offer education so that those who are capable of taking advantage of it around these issues will. Eight million dumbasses heard 50 Cent tell some guy he looked autistic. Some of them laughed hysterically. But his stupidity got more attention by the people who are demanding an apology from him doing so. If you're getting all your information off the Twitterverse, I don't believe that makes you a formidable force in terms of cultural change. And some of you will say, well, this whole Dunning-Kruger thing, it sounds rather arrogant to me.
But consider this. This was probably around a year ago, and I honestly don't remember what the issue is. But my wife Erin and I were talking about something. I remember we were sitting in our bedroom watching television, so which only happens for Monday Night Football, American Idol, The Biggest Loser, and occasionally Dancing with the Stars. It's not like there's a lot of television that goes on in our lives. But I may have been reading an article and said, "Do you believe this? How can people not see this?" And she looked at me and said, "Honestly, Craig, because not everybody is as intelligent as you are." Now, please, I'm not saying that to set myself up as some kind of genius, because I'm not. But it illustrates the point that those of us who are more educated, more intelligent, do make the assumption that if it's clear as day to us, it must be clear as day to everybody else. And when you understand that that's not the case, and then you look at social or religious or spiritual statements, and you ask yourself, how in the world can anybody believe this nonsense? The Dunning-Kruger effect is your answer, because they're dumb. There's nothing wrong with being dumb. Plenty of fine people are dumb. Plenty of dumb people have excelled at their dumbness in a way that far surpasses intelligent people excelling at their intelligence. And I say, good for them. I remember a girl in high school who I knew, that she was something of a slow learner, and I would have eaten a case of raw spam to get close to her. I'm not saying that dumb... Sorry, I'm killing myself. I'm not saying that dumbasses... I had an image of me eating a case of raw spam and started to wonder whether I really would have. I'm not saying that dumbasses don't have their function and their value in society. I have friends who are dumbasses. But we have to stop believing that we can reach everybody or change everybody or educate everybody, and when we try, we have to do it in a way that's appropriate to the person who we're trying to impact. And again, there's some people we just aren't going to impact. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have rights. That doesn't mean we don't care for them, love them, and have compassion towards them. Doesn't mean we don't help them tie their shoes. Doesn't mean we don't want them to have a good, happy life, to have their needs met, to reach their full potential. It just means that we can relax a little bit about the political stupidity by recognizing that stupidity has a great appeal to a large chunk of our population. In fact, ironic as it sounds, stupidity is actually intelligence to dumb people. I'm sorry. And we also don't need to jump up demanding apologies from everything some dumbass says. Some of those things we can just let go, because the fact that they say it doesn't make it real. Let me say that again, because it's important. The fact that somebody says it doesn't make it real. And I think these kinds of incidents, the 50 cent incidences, take us off track. They run us down a diversionary road and move us off track from our goals, but only because we allow them to. And that's important. Only because we allow them to. So maybe, just maybe, we can move to the place where we start to see that we have more control than we thought we did. That we can pick and choose our battles.
that we can work together with people who are able to help us achieve our goals, that we can educate the people who are in the middle, and the people who, for whatever reason, we're not going to be able to reach, we can just step away from. And it's okay. In fact, it's the wise thing to do. Until next time, I'm Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste. We thank you for joining us for this Christ and Light program. We're glad you decided to join us. Christ and Light offers a variety of programming and teachings available throughout the week. The Christ and Light podcast uploads weekly, usually on Monday mornings, and discusses a contemporary spiritual issue or teaching from a Christ and Light perspective. Christ and Light has a program on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday mornings and Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. On Wednesdays, our program looks at spiritual issues with a sense of humor, even when those issues are extremely serious. On Sunday mornings, we offer a weekly Sunday morning message based on a Christ and Light interpretation of the Revised Common Lectionary Scripture readings for that day. All of our internet programming is available at no cost to you. To learn more, visit our ChristandLight.org website or access the podcast and the Blog Talk Radio program at no charge to you on iTunes. We also write an engaged spirituality blog, which is available on the ChristandLight.org website. We blog Monday through Friday, and also on each morning, we upload a spiritual teaching for the day, 7 days a week. There is a Christ and Light gathering in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To learn more about that gathering, visit the Christ and Light website. This program is copyright 2011 and 2012 by the Ecumenical Franciscans of the Renewal. All rights are reserved. For permission to reprint or use audio from this program, please write christandlight@gmail.com. We thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste.